Now, as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, some of us have it's been a bit of a scorched earth policy, hasn't it, this last horrific summer, and we're really thinking about redesigning our gardens. So I thought today we might talk to Michael Dent, who grows the most fantastic range of aloes. Are you there, Michael?
I am, Sandra.
Hi there. Thank you so much for joining us on Stereo 974.
It's my pleasure.
And tell us about these fantastic, tough and beautifully flowering aloes.
Yeah. Well, Sandra, the aloe range of aloes is really, the bottom line, they've been bred specifically for their flowering qualities. So they flower for long periods, they flower prolifically, and they flower very young in the pot. So, you know, those qualities really make them perfect perennials for gardens and for the home gardener and tough perennials that can cope with all conditions.
They certainly, well, once they're established, I mean, apart from maybe just sort of tidying them up and pruning off the spent flowers, is there much that they need? Are they pretty set and forget?
Yes. One misconception is often with aloes is that they're desert plants. I mean, there are some aloes that come from desert regions, but our hybrids have been bred as garden plants. So, you know, if you do have very hot periods, you can give them a bit of water, which will improve the flowering. But bottom line is, you can leave them and they will still flower.
Yes,
the answer to your question, they are very, very low maintenance plants.
And they're very sculptural. I mean, they're very impressive, aren't they?
Yes. Well, I guess that's one of the features of them is that when they're not in flower, they you know, do have that great almost statuesque look about them, particularly the very large ones.
Now, I'm just looking at your brochure here,
yes.
And actually, you sent me some lovely plants,
right,
which I have across the porch here. I'm so thrilled to see them, and just to have an understanding how different they all are, the different foliages, the different colours in the foliage, but it's the flower that I'm gobsmacked about.
Yes, you know, that's something that people never really understood in the past, because, you know, pure species of aloes are not necessary or prolific flowers, and, you know, most people just know of the humble aloe vera, which is really a medicinal plant.
Exactly.
It's pretty boring as an ornamental plant. These plants are bred, and I must say it's a 35-year breeding program in South Africa that's culminated in releasing these plants, and they are, you know, the best of the best. They really, really, you know, we've got one of our new releases, which is called Always Red Flowers, you know, maturity for 10 months of the year, and there's not much around that can just reward you with these spears of colour.
Does it flower for that long?
Yes, honestly, yes.
Oh, that's
It is a most amazing plant. You know, others of them are shorter time, but are more prolific flowers. So, you know, often it's a trade-off between, you know, longevity of flowering, colour of flowering, timing of flowering, and what one can do, because they all flower the different cultivars at different times. If you place them strategically in the garden, you can effectively have flowering for 12 months of different plants come on and at different times. So you really can effectively have colour back in your garden with no water required at all, and they take the heat, they take the rain, and they take the cold. You know, some of them are more frost tolerant than others.
Yeah.
But generally, they take the cold. You know, some aloes are grown in habitat in the snow.
Really.
In Africa.
Yes.
And yet others grow in the desert. So there are a range of conditions that normally they grow in.
Do you know, Michael? I first saw them in a garden in California called Lotus Land.
Yes, I've heard of Lotus Land. I've never been there.
Gemma Wahlquist, I think she was a singer, an opera singer.
Yes.
She became a bit of a recluse, and she loved the aloes, and she planted them through this garden. Well, I mean, the whole garden is sort of a succulent garden, but these aloes,
yes.
the flower of them,
yes.
is just so fantastic. And now that I see the different, can we just talk about, say, a couple of these lovely new,
yes.
So people can get a hand on what they are. Let's talk about these four that you're releasing.
Right, the newer ones.
The new ones, yes.
Yes. Well, the ones we released is Copper Shell, which is in flower at the moment, and that's, I guess, a more of a shrubby aloe, so it's only grows to a metre tall, and it branches and forms a shrub. But the beauty of it is it has these lovely copper flowers that improve with, you know, the thing is with aloes, people often confuse them with agaves. Now, the thing with an agave, the mother plant dies after it's flowered,
yes.
and then the pups just then they grow large. But, you know, an aloe just keeps on growing, and in fact, aloes have been known to grow for, you know, more than 100 years. But the point is that with age, the flowering improves.
Yes.
So your first year, you get an immature flower, and as the plant gets bigger, it becomes more and more floriferous.
Yes. Well, and the colour, this lovely would you say copper?
It's copper shower. So
copper shower.
It's a copperish colour.
Gorgeous.
Sandra.
Yes. And there's a lovely soft fairy pink.
Yes, yes. Fairy pink is probably one of our most popular plants. It's really is a great plant as a pot plant. It's really a white flower, but it has a tinge of pink in it. In its flowering cycle. It's probably needs a bit of protection. So, you know, I'd caution people about planting it out in really harsh conditions. You know, often it can grow in shade and with a bit of protection. Just really because it's a dainty plant.
See, a lot of people think of the aloes as all reds and strong colours, but that's why I was amazed to see this one.
Yes, yes. No, we have you know, really the full gamut. We've got bicolours that are different colours. We've got pastels. We've got one of the new ones we'll be releasing in a few months is a lovely pink and white. So it's bicolour, but it's a pastel colours. And, you know, I think that's something that gardeners are looking for is that soft pastel colour. So we're really excited about having that available.
Well, now where are you growing these, Michael? Yes.
At the moment, all of our product is grown in Queensland. It is available in Victoria.
Where is it available in Victoria?
Well, it's available at many retail nurseries, but I mean there are some I can name.
Yes, definitely. Can you tell us?
They're available, and they say, you know, the hardest thing is to know who's got stock at them.
That's right, but they could ring.
Yes, but we know that because we've recently sent plants to Poynton's at Essendon.
Ah, yes.
Then at Bulleen, we've sent them to Bulleen Art and Garden.
Bulleen.
And then Roy Rama Nursery at Lara.
Lara.
They have them. And, you know, if people are struggling to get them, we also have licensed a mail order nursery.
Oh, lovely.
Which is called Meridian Nursery. Now, a lot of people get frightened culturally in Australia about bare rooting plants. I mean, we sell them bare rooted. I know even some people don't like buying roses that way, but the thing is with aloes, it can live out of soil for more than a month.
Can it? Yes.
And you put it back in the ground, and it's not adversely affected in any way, which makes it the perfect plant for mail order.
For mail order, exactly.
Yes. So, you know, we're getting a lot of interest from the gardening community, because particularly from remote areas in Victoria where they've been struggling with being able to grow anything.
Oh, yes. As I said in the introduction, a lot of people are really rethinking their garden design.
Yes.
And aloes have, just because they're so incredibly beautiful and sculptural, have got such a place in
so
sustainable.
One of the things, I just have to caution your listeners, there's often people think of aloes as just being aloes. The thing is, they come from such a range of conditions. As I said, some are in the hot desert, some are in the snow. Some grow, you know, within metres from the beach, some at altitude. And the problem with a lot of species of aloes is that they don't adapt to garden conditions because they are used to their inhabitat, the
yes.
conditions they grow with. And what the breed of these plants has done is he's been able to, because he can get a wider gene pool, can get experience from all these different areas in a plant, because some of them have as many as 6 different parents.
Ah, yes.
So that plant then is able to cope better in a garden because it's got all this genetic experience.
Yes.
So they are much better adapting to garden conditions. So, you know, a lot of people, I've had people, you know, planting pure species of aloes have been disappointed, but, you know, this is the beauty of the hybrids. They're bred for gardening, and mostly they can be used as companion plants. Any of the other plants we have in our gardens,
exactly.
Because they like the same conditions. You know, we try to encourage people to get away from this desert garden. You know, these
yes.
things are, these are not sort of, they're companion plants for you know, they're, and they're perennials for colour in the garden, because our gardens have become, I believe, in many ways, so sterile with strappy leaf plants and which don't have any diversity, whereas
yes.
the aloes, because of their flowering qualities, they bring the birds back into the garden. They are able to, because they're seasonal, you have the flowers coming out, you have the flowers dying, and then often in winter when it's cold, particularly in Victoria, they turn red
yes.
because it's just a natural phenomenon. So, you know, you're really getting this range of excitement back in the garden rather than having these sterile, boring, strappy leaf plants that, you know, have been trendy in the past.
Michael, would you have pictures of these on your website?
Yes, we do. We have lots of pictures.
See, that would, if any of our listeners could go to the website, which is aloe-aloe.com.au, you'll see these beautiful plants and the flowers that, until you see them, you just can't believe that they flower so beautifully and what beautiful garden plants they are. And and of course then you've got an email address there, so if you're having trouble finding them, you could email Michael and he'll be able to tell you perhaps the nearest stockist.
Yes, and we're happy to do that. And you know, our mail order distributor, which does it on a retail basis, is also their details on,
exactly,
on their,
and you could order them mail order.
Yes.
Well, I'm very excited to see these plants, Michael. I do really thank you for your time this morning.
No.
And I think our listeners are really going to enjoy finding these lovely aloes and planting them into the garden and coming into this lovely autumn season's perfect time, really, isn't it?
Yes. Well, Sandra, you know, we're happy to help listeners in any way. We're so excited about these plants, and the community is getting excited, and we just want to help and get them out there. And you know, they are being planted in many botanical gardens around the country, and when people really start to see
yes.
these magnificent plants flower, they're beyond belief. And
they are.
That's what we need out there. We just need people to see them.
Exactly. Thank you, Michael.
It's a pleasure, Sandra.
Thank you. Really lovely to chat.
Lovely to talk to you. Thank you.
Catch up soon.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. That's Michael Dent. And his company, just aloe-aloe, and I have to say they are just sensational. I love this white one. I mean, the red ones are gorgeous, but I've got a bit of a thing about white, and I just love that white, just with a tinge of pink to it. It's absolutely gorgeous. You're listening to The Garden Clinic here with me, Sandra Ross, on your station, Stereo 974, and it's 1:45.